This season on Invisibilia, should we empathize with our enemies?
Femoids should f***ing die.
Is it okay to have machines control our emotions?
I should be kind of creeped out, but at the same time, I'm like, well, thank God I live in this day and age.
No easy answers, just the right questions. Invisibilia, back on March 8th.
From NPR Music, this is Alt Latino. I'm Felix Contreras. El Lado Negro is someone we've been playing here on the show since we started out almost 9 years ago. His album Canta Lechuza back in 2011 stopped me in my tracks, and I've been a fan of his sonically rich and lyrically compelling music ever since. I've seen him perform here in the U.S. and Mexico, and each time it's been quite a musical and visual experience, I gotta say. El Lado Negro is the artistic name for Roberto Lange, a South Florida native whose family roots in Ecuador. So much of his music has elegantly touched on issues of identity and immigration, and his new album is no different. This Is How You Smile is the name of the record. The title and the songs are based on a short story by writer Jamaica Kincaid called Girl, a series of life lessons from an immigrant mother to her daughter. This is how you sew on a button. This is how you make a buttonhole for the button you just sewed. This is how you smile. It's another fascinating chapter from El Lado Negro, and we have him in the studio with us. El Lado Negro, or Roberto Lange, welcome to Alt Latino.
Thanks for having me, Felix.
All right, so as I've been doing lately, you see I have no notes in front of me. Right.
Okay.
So we're winging it, man. We talked a little bit about what we're going to try to do, and we're going to make it work.
Okay. I'm ready.
All right. So we're starting with your first single from the record. Tell us the name of the single.
The song is called Please Won't Please. It's actually the first song from the new album called This Is How You Smile.
With some phones, now go untold. Gently. My mistake. Open, let it take you days. And for days now, I'll wait around. And when
that was Please Won't Please from El Lado Negro. Okay, you have a very distinct sound, and it's one of the things that attracted us Latino to your music, because it really is one of a kind. And I think it goes back to, like, you were in a cabin in the woods at one point.
Mm-hmm.
And you made that, what was that, like your second record?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that continues on this record, but what do you feel has changed in your music that has moved it forward in a way?
There's so many experiences that happen. I've been touring and doing El Lado Negro for the past 10 years. It's been 10 years since I released the first record. So I think there's so much I can't put my finger on in terms of experiences through touring and performing and making music that I don't know what's changed specifically, but I can feel it. I know there's a confidence in terms of when I'm making decisions, and that's the hardest thing about making records, is when you're sitting down in your studio, in your, wherever you are, and saying, like, this is the thing that is going to be the music, this new record, the part of the song, or the thing that I want to be in my life for the rest of my life.
And a lot of the album tracks, it's mostly you. You play most of the instruments.
Most of the time, but there are a lot of guests on this record, and in also a lot of other records too, there are guests. And the way that works is I don't necessarily work in the traditional format where I'm like, I'm in a studio and I'm like, I wrote these songs, I'm going to get some players and we'll work in a studio and record and edit and track and figure it out. What I end up doing is like piecemealing ideas, and it's taken from how I learned how to make music. I learned how to make music. I got my like first sampler in 1999, an MPC, and I was like 19. And I would collect samples via records or wherever, like sound recorders. And so I do the same with musicians where I'm like, we come up with these different like swaths and broad strokes of ideas, and like we figure out how to put those in there, and then I take them and then just deconstruct them or leave them intact but reconfigure the composition around these new ideas as well.
So you talked a little bit right now about being 19 and when you first started doing the music, and this is something, having you in the studio right now is something that I've wanted to do for a very long time, because I'm very curious to know what you were listening to. What are some of the music, some of the songs that influenced you and it contributed to the sound that we all appreciate now? So Whoa. Let's go back, right?
Okay, yeah. That's tough to say. I think we could exclude a good portion of like my early life only because I think it's pretty easy to talk about that. And it almost feels like it's easier to define what I do by those things, which was like I grew up in the 80s. I grew up in South Florida listening to like a lot of Miami bass, a lot of hip hop and rap, you know, and also a lot of music that my family's from Ecuador. And growing up in Miami, only almost ever grew up with Spanish speaking people.
Sure.
And so the music we listened to was like a lot of like Caribbean dance music, meaning like salsa, merengue, bachata, you know, in Latin America, the perspective, and you know this, and everyone should know this, I'm sure. The people who don't know this, who are listening now, is that within the term Latin music, there's like this idea that Latin music is what's been commercialized by an American market, meaning like the only things you know are like salsa or things that are like, no shade to Ricky Martin, but
sure,
but this idea of like what Ricky Martin does or whatever, you know. And there's a lot of newer things happening as well, but the point I'm trying to get to is when you go to South America or anywhere in Latin America, music is music. And it's not defined by this like idea of what people think it is. And so the things I grew up listening to were like, you know, pop music sang in Spanish and you know, boleros and cumbias, but also things that just had no attachment to anything that felt like that. There's such a, in Latin America is a true definition of what the United States would have been like if the indigenous people weren't erased, you know?
Huh.
So there's a lot of that kind of mestizaje, like people mixing from indigenous communities to these colonized Euro communities. And so you have like this mestizaje, these like this mix, and then you have these indigenous influences of musical ideas as well in there. So it's the things that exist are unique and it's beautiful, and it's not just defined by the things that are in a marketplace in the United States. And so that's the best way for me to describe the things that I listen to. It's so vast that it's like impossible for me to say like, yeah, I was listening to this guy and this is the thing that made it feel like the thing I love and the thing that I wanted to make. I was listening to so much that it's like music is absorbed and it's kind of, it's air more than it is like a slice of pizza, you know?
Mom!
You know, it makes complete sense that you would have an esoteric approach to defining your influences, and that approach is on full display on this track from the new album. It's a sound collage called November 7. Thank you. November 7 from the album This Is How You Smile from El Lado Negro. Okay, next question. Can you pinpoint a time when your musical vision or your musical philosophy began to take shape?
After, you know, when I got into college, I started taking animation courses, and that's what I learned about. And so I started learning more about experimental music, and that made me understand music more than anything. Like later years in high school, I was like very much into electronic music. This is like mid-90s, my brother got back from like Europe and he brought me all these jungle and raga CDs of like dance music and like techno records. And I was like, man, this is amazing. What is this music? It's so alien to me. And I learned that there was these production techniques that were parallel to like hip hop production techniques. And I started to learn how to produce with drum machines when I was like 17 years old,
wow.
16 years old, and making all this stuff. And so then when I got to college, I got really way more interested in just kind of things that were more avant-garde, and had really cool professors that were more interested in sound installation work. So that really like appealed to me, and I felt like I had a lot to fall back on, because I was like, oh, I feel like I'm coming from a weirder place anyways. And I always felt like an outsider within my own community and other communities. And so it was really interesting, because I was like, well, I'll just keep making weird stuff. And then within that, I started to produce a lot of electronic music, and I was, like I said, I was listening to, and these are pretty generic examples now, but I remember at the time it was like very different. But I remember listening to like a lot of stuff on Warp Records from the UK, and things out of Miami. You know, surprisingly, there was a huge electronic experimental music scene that I became a part of in Miami that was very short lived, maybe like a 5-year, 6-year like period. And where a lot of people, for me, it was like a lot of brown kids making weird electronic music that I knew that I could communicate with, and that existed. And I didn't really come to it in any other way where I see a lot of people are coming to it now. I feel like that for me was the catalyst to feel comfortable with doing what I want and to do what I could explore, and it fed that curiosity. And so that's, I mean, if I could give you broad examples, that's the best way I guess I could explain it. There wasn't necessarily one artist that like was like, this is the person, you know.
Well, can you give me the name of an artist that you might have been listening to back then? Because we got to play a record, man.
Yeah.
We got to play a song.
I think for me, something that made me want to make music was production itself. Like, I used to listen to a lot of hip hop, and so like DJ Premier or like Large Professor, those types of like production techniques is like what I was interested in. I was interested in the technicality of like what created these sounds and ideas, and then got into the feeling. So yeah, like DJ Premier, like the first Black Star record was a huge influence for me. Just listen, I mean, I loved the lyrics, Mos Def's lyrics, but the production itself was like very important for me. Like the way it was like blended, the way it was mixed, the way he chose the sounds.
Okay, let's hear a track from that album. This is Respiration from Black Star featuring Common.
The new moon rode high in the crown of the metropolis, shining like who on top of this? People was tussling, arguing and bustling. Gangsters of Gotham, hardcore hustling. I'm wrestling with words and ideas. My ears is pricked, seeking what will transmit. The scribes can apply the transcript. Yo, this ain't no time where the usual is suitable. Tonight alive, let's describe the inscrutable, the indisputable. We New York, the narcotics. Drake, the metal and fiber optics. We're mercenaries is paid to trade hot stock tips for profits. Thirsty criminals, dick pockets. Hard knuckles on the second hands of working class watches. Skyscrapers is colossus. The cost of living is preposterous. Stay alive, you pay or die, no options. No Batman and Robin. Can't tell between the cops and the robbers. Both partners, they all heartless, with no conscience. Back streets stay darkened, while unbelieving hearts stay hardened. My ego talent stay sharpened, like city lights stay throbbing. You either make a way or stay sobbing. The shiny apple is bruised but sweetened. If you choose to eat, you could lose your teeth. Many crews retreat, nightly news repeat. Who got shot down the lockdown? Spotlight the savages, NASDAQ averages. My narrative grows to explain its existence amidst the harbor lights which remain in the distance. So much on my mind that I can't recline. Blasting holes in the night till she blends sunshine. Breathe in the hail vapors from bright stars that shine. Breathe out, we smoke, retrace the skyline. Heard the bass ride out like an ancient maiden call. I can't take it, y'all. I can feel the city breathing, chest heaving against the flesh of the evening. Sigh before it died like the last train.
Okay, you're listening to Alt Latino. We're talking to the artist Helado Negro today about his new album and some of his influences, like that last track from the album Black Star. Okay, we're going to take a break from the music and give a shout out to another NPR podcast that you should know about.
What does it take to turn an idea into reality, even when no one else believes you can? I'm Guy Raz. Every week on How I Built This, I speak with innovators about their influential brands and the stories behind them, the failures, triumphs, and everything in between.
Now, more music from This Is How You Smile, the new album by Helado Negro. This is called País Nublado.
Obsesionado con mi boca, habla sin respirar. Despacio te digo, porque nos falta un tiempo más para pasear este país nublado, este país nublado. Para pasear este país nublado, este país nublado. And I, having lost my mind, thinking about you. And I, having lost my breath, shouting all the things we're about to do. And we'll take our turn, and we'll take our time, knowing that we'll be here long after you. Para pasear este país nublado, este país nublado. Para pasear este país nublado, este país nublado. Thank you.
feeling stronger. Para pasear este país nublado, este país nublado. Para pasear este país nublado, este país nublado.
That was País Nublado from El Lado Negro, our guest DJ this week. You know, off mic, we were talking about the experience of hearing something new from your favorite band and how that opens up how we listen to music.
That's the thing I love about music, is when you have that feeling with music. And everyone has it differently with everything. You know, the music that I make, I know not everyone's going to dig. And I know that it's like, it's not going to affect people the way I think it affects me. And I think that's the best part. When people talk about great music and classics, people invent classics. Classics are just things that are just like this complete invention. I think when you hear something for the first time that you didn't even know existed, you're like, oh man, like this, it's exciting. It's great.
I always describe it as that song you've been waiting to hear, but you didn't know existed.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. But it does. And you know, all those things that you're thinking, they exist somewhere. Someone's made it somewhere. Someone's made the feeling, at least, that feeling that you want to feel. It's there. And it's not like, I definitely try to look for as much music as I can, because I love being surprised and excited by music. It's one of my favorite things.
Tell us about the name El Lado Negro. What's happening with that?
El Lado Negro is a name for the project that I have. That's been the name for the same project for 10 years. And it means black ice cream for the non-Spanish speaker. And what's up with it? It's just, It's a name for this project. I thought it was nice to have separation from my government name. You know, I know black ice cream has become some kind of like trend or popular thing in the past couple of years, but it really doesn't exist as anything. I think when you look at like the color white of ice cream that's white, you'd think vanilla, or like green, you think pistachio. But when you think of black, you're not really sure what that would taste like. Someone's like, oh, maybe black licorice, or like black sesame, or maybe it's like burnt something, but it could be anything. And I like that idea that it can be anything, just like a flavor that doesn't exist and that can be all these things. This year is the 15th year that I've been touring and releasing music, which is pretty exciting. And this year,
and quite an accomplishment, I gotta say. Okay, now let's talk about your live shows, because I've seen you, I think, three times. Saw you in Mexico City, saw you at South By. I think I saw you in Mexico City twice at the big Latin music festival.
Oh, Vive Latino.
Vive Latino. So you have a stage presentation, or have had in the past.
Yeah.
Okay, tell us about that, because you have these things on a stage, these people and
I call them tinsel mammals. And so we did that for the past 5 years, and it was developed for a lot of different reasons.
Describe them.
Yeah, the tinsel mammals are something that were created as a collaboration between my wife, her name's Christy Sword, and it was this conversation that I was having in terms of like, I tour by myself with the music that I make. It made the most sense for me to tour around the world with my computer, a couple of synthesizers, a guitar, and a microphone. But I had this feeling, I've always had this background in visual arts and installation and sculptural work, that I was like, I want to have something that makes the stage mine in a portable, economical, and modular way, where things can come to life, can move, but not be this like prohibitive piece. And so we created these costumes that are fully like kind of just like these blobs. You could think of it, they were inspired by Cousin It for sure.
From the Addams Family.
I love the Addams Family. I love like crazy dark stuff like that sometimes.
And Cousin It, just for people who don't know, because I remember seeing the Addams Family when it was on primetime. That's how old I am, right? Because I didn't see it in repeat. Cousin It was like, it's like about 4 feet tall and just covered with hair.
Yeah, long hair. Yeah. Like long strands of hair.
Long strands of hair and just would like shuffle around.
And it was beautiful.
Right.
And I always thought that was the most amazing character in the world. You know, I was never, when I watched the Addams Family, Cousin It was like, I wanted to know more about Cousin It. Instead of hair, they're completely covered in tinsel. And this silver-colored tinsel. And so what we would do is create these costumes, and they would be inhabited by different people. But that was what you saw. But this show for now has evolved. The tinsel mammals themselves are evolving into a new kind of show, solo show. They kind of like, you know, they have their solo project now, and then El Hado Negro's is going, you know. I have two band members that I'm working with right now. That's the new show.
The tinsel mammals have just sort of... hobbled off.
They signed their own deal. They signed like a they signed to a major. They couldn't stay on the underground.
This track is called Running from the new album This Is How You Smile.
Raining true.
Roberto Lange, or El Hado Negro, thank you so much for coming by, man. I wanted to have you in here for a long time.
Thank you. Thank you.
Been a fan for a long time. And
no, I'm a fan of you.
And really appreciate you bringing the new stuff in. The new record is called This Is How You Smile. We had it on a first listen here on NPR Music. And you can hear it now on all the usual outlets.
Yes.
All right, man. Thanks for coming.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Alt Latino. Don't forget to follow us on Facebook and Twitter. We are NPR's Alt Latino. I'm Felix Contreras, and as always, thank you so much for listening.